Good morning and welcome to Up to Date. I'm Brian Ellison in for Steve Kraske. It seems like it would be a dream job, but few have the talent or the initiative or the stamina to do what Greg Gorman has done. He's made a name traveling the world as a photographer who may be best known for his portraits of celebrities. Andy Warhol, Michael Jackson, Brad Pitt, Kim Basinger, Sharon Stone, not to mention boxers in Thailand and the characters of movies like Tootsie and Pirates of the Caribbean. They've all been immortalized in Gorman's lens with memorable results. So how did this Kansas City native son come to be one who could transform the bodies and faces of stars into art? Later this morning, we'll be kicking off our St. Patrick's Day weekend with another homegrown legend, the Irish rock band The Elders. But first, Greg Gorman joins us this morning. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you so much for coming to be with us on Up to Date. Someone asked me today who we were talking with, and I found myself stumbling a little when I said the words celebrity photographer, because what you do is so much more than that. You're an artist whose subject happens to be celebrities. Why celebrities? How did you get in that business, and why?
Well, it's kind of funny. I actually began my career here in Kansas City in 1968 when I borrowed a friend's camera to shoot Jimi Hendrix in concert at Municipal Auditorium. And the following day when I saw the pictures coming up in the tray and being developed, I realized I was kind of hooked, and that's what I wanted to do. And I studied photography here at the University of Kansas and from there to California.
And that you have an iconic photo of Jimi Hendrix in your gallery. Is that from Kansas City?
Very first frame of film I ever shot.
No kidding. And, of course, it's different than some of your other photos. It's a grainy, sort of out-of-focus picture, right?
Right. And I don't know whether that was a sign of the times or the fact that I was just learning what I was doing,
meaning
shooting a little slow and just taking a picture.
Well, we should mention that Greg Gorman is going to be speaking tonight at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. That appearance is at 7 p.m. It's free and open to the public, although they'd appreciate it if you'd register. You can find a link to that event online and at our website. You can find a link there. It's sponsored by the American Society of Media Photographers. So as you said, you didn't really start out to be a still photographer, right? Your degree's in cinematography.
Well, actually, no, that followed up,
okay.
Brian.
Okay.
I was studying photography. I moved to California and actually got my degree in film.
Okay. And why did you gravitate more toward the still photos than the movies?
Very simple answer. I'm a control freak, and with the motion picture business, there were too many other factors in the decision making process. And as a still photographer, I was much more in control of my own realm.
You know, it's interesting. I've heard you talk about the reasons that you've moved from doing some of the celebrity portraits to working with models or to pictures that where you have more control.
Right. It actually was an interesting story. In New York, when my career was really taking off and I was shooting all these famous people, I was speaking with a dear friend of mine that was a fashion illustrator. And he said, well, you're shooting all these people, Greg, and you're making all this money and you're doing all this, but what are you doing for yourself? And I realized I had to stop cold, and I realized I wasn't really doing anything for myself. So that's when I started shooting my figure studies and doing a personal body of work.
Well, let's go back to some of that celebrity work that you are well known for. What goes into taking a portrait of a celebrity who everyone feels like they already know?
Well, most personalities are much more comfortable playing a character other than themselves, being able to hide behind that facade, Brian. And my job is as a photographer is to kind of strip them bare of the characters that people are familiar with and try to get into their soul and figure out who they are as individuals. And it takes a lot of hand-holding. It's a job for a psychiatrist, psychologist, let's say. So it's getting them to win their trust and their confidence.
And these are, of course, folks who wanted you to be taking their picture in the first place, but it's still
sometimes. Some yes, some maybe no, but
okay.
They were kind of thrown into that situation by the nature of the realm of publicity and advertising.
So talk us through that handholding. Maybe give us an example. What do you do to connect with the reluctant or the difficult subject?
Well, I try to spend as much time before the shoot getting to know them, trying to come up or down to their level, so to say. I work with a strong team. I have a chef full-time that prepares meals. We usually break bread most of the time before we do a photo session. And I try to share my vision as much as possible with the talent to involve them in the shoot. A lot of photographers, you know, kind of keep the pictures to themselves, but I want to involve them to get that communication flowing.
It would seem to me that might be a way to engage people who act for a living into sort of shaping how they're perceived.
Absolutely. I mean, I think they're as nervous as anyone, and they want to feel like you're playing for their team for sure. Mm-hmm. And in this world today, one of the reasons I don't do a lot of editorial work is that the editorial people, they want those vulnerable kind of askew shots, and that's nothing I ever really had any interest in pursuing.
Yeah. That's the psychological side of it. How about the technical side? Not too technical, of course, but what are some of the things that go into photos that are distinctly yours?
Well, I think one of the things that I learned early on, when I first started shooting pictures, I put them all up on my wall, and they all looked like interchangeable postage stamps. The light was right over the camera. Everything was lit flatly. The people looked great, but there was very little distinction between the imagery. And so it wasn't really until I started taking the light kind of off the center of camera to create a more dynamic range between my highlights and my shadows that the picture started to take on a style that I developed in my lighting.
I want to invite our listeners to check out Greg Gorman's work for themselves. You can find it on our website, kcur.org. Click on the link for today's program, and you can see a slideshow that contains a good many of Greg Gorman's celebrity photographs and some of his work with figures as well. You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. I want to talk about some of those portraits if we can. Some of them are truly iconic. A lot they're very well known. Some I was less familiar with. Let's start with one that has appeared in a lot of places, the Andy Warhol print.
Well, that's kind of a great story, Brian. I started shooting a campaign that became a kind of a major campaign in my career for LA Eyeworks. And there were portraits of celebrities wearing glasses to kind of promote the eyeglass company in Los Angeles. And they appeared every month in a magazine called Interview that was Andy Warhol's magazine. And at the point in time that the campaign was going on in the mid to late 80s, Andy had just signed a contract with Ford Models and called me up and said, gee, do you think that LA Eyeworks would be interested in photographing me, meaning myself, for the campaign? And I said, well, I think that's probably a good possibility. The irony of this, Brian, is the fact that in one's career, you never really know when your iconic images are going to come about. And certainly from an advertising campaign, it's probably the furthest thing from your mind. But
right.
That became one of my most celebrated pictures, fortunately.
Well, does that say something about how the categorization of work into commercial versus art is maybe sometimes a false distinction?
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes there's a very fine line between commercial work and personal work or fine artwork. But I think, you know, it's a distinction of in the eyes of the person whether you really see it as commercial work or fine artwork as well.
I'm looking at the Andy Warhol picture here. I could try to describe it, but I'd be curious about how you as a photographer would describe this to a radio audience. What do you see in this Andy Warhol picture?
Well, I mean, he's such a famous artist, and I think the picture is very kind of upfront and in your face. And I think, you know, his mop, as he said later in one of his diaries, was my makeup artist and hairdresser was one of the few people that screwed his mop on straight. Of course, that's a wig that Andy's wearing.
Yeah. It's a bright white
wig.
straight hair.
But I mean, I dressed him in black and with a black leather jacket. I think it just speaks strongly for him as an artist, and that's kind of what I was trying to get across. No nonsense, straightforward, and his whole foray in terms of his art was very direct and very upfront in terms of his presentation of how he looked at commercial items as art.
You would think it's interesting that you say the picture reflects his art, reflects who he was. You would think that photography, still photography, would be one of the most difficult ways to really say something about a person. You don't have sound, you don't have motion, you don't have back and forth, you just have this one moment, and yet it's very revealing.
You know, that's a very good thing what you just said. And what's kind of funny, Brian, with this image, as you know, because you're looking at it and unfortunately our audience can't see it right now, is he's actually wearing sunglasses. But probably the single most telling aspect, I would say, of my imagery is what the people say through their eyes, because I really feel the eyes are kind of a window to the soul. So in this instance, in this photograph, I had to deal with just the graphic elements of what he was wearing, the glasses, and the shape and form of the image.
Again, you can see all of the images we're talking about today at our website, kcur.org. There's also a link there to Greg Gorman's website where you can see many, many more images. Let's talk about one more of these photos. I mentioned the Jimi Hendrix photo that is different from all the others being out of focus. But another one that's a lot different is your photo of Jack Nicholson in Beverly Hills in 1968. Tell us about that photo.
Well, that's funny that you bring this up, but at the beginning of my career, you know, as a photographer, when you haven't really established yourself, you're kind of feeling out and trying to see what do you want to do. And I realized I did not want to be a paparazzi photographer. But that's actually a shot of Jack rolling one of those things we smoked in those days.
Right. He's rolling and something. Our listeners will have to use their imagination
of what that must be. But it wasn't something you buy at your local pharmacy or your local grocery store. And it just happened to be a moment in time. He was at an opening of a party. It was right around the time of Five Easy Pieces. So that was just kind of one of my few journalistic pictures I threw in there as something for you to bring up, possibly.
Well, and it's again is a very revealing portrait of the man and of the time, perhaps as well.
Round Five Easy Pieces, Easy Rider.
Yeah. We're talking with Greg Gorman, the photographer and artist, and a native son of Kansas City. You know, I wonder how being from Kansas City has had an impact on your career. I can't imagine that this is the regularly advised pathway to celebrity photographer status.
Well, you're actually wrong.
Really?
Because I want to say something about this city. I love this city very much. I come back here at least once a year and visit my very dear friends. I spend a lot of time with my buddies out at Jasper's that I've known since I was a little kid growing up. But as well, having a down-to-earth upbringing, being able to be down to earth and focused and grounded and centered, which I don't think is as apparent on the East or West Coast, really helps me get into the heads of the people that I have to photograph. So I really attribute a lot of my success to my upbringing here in Kansas City.
And to being a more common sense, quote unquote, normal person.
If there is such a thing.
Right. If you Kansas City normal folks want to join the conversation, you can call us at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. You can also email us at update@kcur.org. I'm curious at what point, Greg, you realized or felt like you had become a little bit of a celebrity yourself. At what point did you start to feel like you were operating on the same level as some of the folks who were now asking you to take their picture?
Well, it just became strange because some people that never showed me the right time of day as I was growing up and coming along, all of a sudden when, you know, I had this stable of stars in my pocket, they all of a sudden wanted to become my friend. And it's kind of a real false sense. It's like fame by guilt by association, just because these are the people that I work with, all of a sudden now that I take on a different persona, which is very false, as you know.
Yeah. Is there a difference in the kind of celebrity that a person enjoys as a photographer than say these movie stars or that you talk with and work with?
Well, you know, like all of us, we all have our careers, and by the very nature of the fact that we're working most of the time in our lives, the people I find that we hang out with are the people that we work with. A lot of the personalities have become very close friends of mine, and that's just nature of the beast. Mm-hmm. But there's some you meet that, you know, want to be your friend, you want to have as your friends, and there's others that you know, take a big pass on. One of the things that I always say is that no celebrity is really any more important than the plumber that comes to fix your toilet when you need help in that realm. It's just a profession. It's just a business.
Do you think does that comment reflect a critique to some degree? Is there a problem with celebrity in America?
No, not at all. I mean, I think the only problem with celebrity in America doesn't really stem from the major movie stars, but from the young up-and-coming stars that basically believe their own press after one movie. The big stars know the length of time and the amount of hard work it takes to get to where they are, and they're pretty much a little bit more logical and more rational people. But the younger stars expect the world and deliver very little often. Not all of them, but I'm just saying as an example that many do.
I'm sure you're asked this in every interview you do. Do you have a favorite among all of the portraits you've taken?
Well, I mean, I certainly love the portrait of Andy, but I love my portrait of Bette Davis, and I like the close-up of Leonardo DiCaprio. Leo was always a great subject to shoot because he was very open and free with a still camera, whereas many celebrities can tend to sometimes be guarded, concerned about their image. Leo was willing to play.
Hmm. And you mentioned the Bette Davis photo. Describe that photo for folks.
Well, it's quite funny. I went over, I got an assignment to shoot Bette Davis for a magazine cover, and I was so thrilled, and I decided I had to meet her before the shoot. It was just too much anxiety involved. And so she agreed to meet me from 4 to 4:10 on a Thursday before the shoot. But she was an amazing person, and I had a lot of funny times with her. I would go over to her apartment, very old school, and sit with her, and we'd edit the pictures together. She was great.
She's sitting in a wingback chair, holding a cigarette, hat askew.
Yes.
Looking at the camera, raising an eyebrow. It's a very humorous photo.
Classic old kind of, you know, what you would expect to see of Bette Davis. But she was an amazing person. We became friends from that shoot, and actually I spent quite a bit of time with her up until she passed away.
She gave you more than the 10 minutes of that
shoot.
Yeah,
she was awesome.
That's great. I wonder what photographers who don't intend to be professional photographers, but who would sure like to take portraits of each other, of their families, of people they know that say something and that mean something. Are there little things that people without the technical background can do to make their portraits speak more?
You know, I mean, the two things – I teach workshops, Brian, up in Mendocino at my home. And the two things that I try to really instill on the people are to be able to understand and see the light, to really look and understand light, and to be able to communicate with the talent, to establish that rapport. That's the most important thing. Fill those voids while you're taking pictures. Talk to the people you're shooting. Make them feel comfortable. Make them feel confident. That way they're going to emote more to you as a subject.
Okay, so see the light. You mean you don't mean that metaphorically. You mean look at where there are shadows.
I mean, I'm
where
looking at you across
from
the table from me, Brian, and the light's a little bit high key coming from the left. Your left eye is actually in shadow, so I would want to put a little more light in there. Just really, people tend to psych themselves out. It's a lot easier than people think, but they just get themselves blocked up that this is a difficult thing. It's just really look at where the light is falling. It's not hard to see where the highlights are in the shadows and then go from there.
Now, I want to talk briefly about some of the other photography you've done as well, because you haven't done only celebrity photography. And I thought some of your most moving photos were of people without names in the pictures, but who, especially the series you shot in Thailand a few years ago. What was that about?
Well, that was an interesting assignment because I was asked to be part of a group of 50 internationally well-known photographers to come and document Thai culture for the 50th anniversary of the King. And I thought, what do they want with a Hollywood celebrity photographer? And that's – so I agree with you. Celebrity is like kind of a – sounds like a bad name to call a photographer. Personality photography I prefer more, but whatever. And so I thought, well, this is a strange assignment, but I thought it was a chance for me to be like Greg Gorman going to take a workshop, to do something outside of the realm of what I normally do. And it was wonderful. It made me really see the light, chase the light, understand – what's going on? So it was an incredible experience,
and you really focused on boxing.
Well, that was the assignment. I was given the assignment to photograph Muay Thai kickboxing. So very different than me shooting at what is basically a still life, an actor sitting on a stool in front of my camera. Here I'm shooting with what light is given to me because I couldn't light anything, and I had to shoot everything on the go with very little time to get to know these people. So I was working with shape, form, and balance to create, and the kind of lighting that I like to create the images so that it still looked like a Greg Gorman portrait.
And you weren't in control, and yet you still were making art.
Doing my best.
Yeah, well, and so let's compare that then to the situation where that you've described is where you're most in control, which is where you're working with models, where you're doing figure work, often nudes.
Basically, my nudes, Brian, stemmed from what I was mentioning earlier with the fashion illustrator mentioned to me, you need to create some of your own work. Well, the majority of my commercial work, a lot of it was shot very close in, personalities, with developing my lighting style between highlights and shadows. So to pull the camera back, shed the people of their clothes, but maintain the integrity of the lighting style, which I developed and was becoming known as my work, was kind of what the assignment was. And it became challenging, but a lot of fun.
Don't forget, you can check out these images we're talking about today on KCUR.org. You can also comment on our Facebook page, which is KCUR, and also you can tweet at KCUR up to date. Talk about a couple more of these photos, in fact. I thought the Tom Waits photo was quite striking. Tom Waits, Hollywood, 1980. You actually have more than one photo of Tom Waits. There's the one that we have in our gallery shows him in front of a tattoo parlor.
Well, in the old days, I'll tell you, it's one of the reasons I'm kind of transitioning in now to making wine and teaching and having my exhibitions and doing my personal work is because in those days it was incredible, Brian. I spent 3 days with Tom, picking him up at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Tropicana Hotel at the bottom of the hill from my home and going out and shooting for like 10 hours.
Where he was living,
he was
right?
living at the Tropicana in a dump. So funny. But Tom is always just one of the most extraordinary individuals. And we'd go out and shoot for like 10 hours. 10, 12 hours, and I take him back home, pick him up the next morning. Today, if you get a celebrity for 15 minutes, a half an hour, in many situations, you're lucky. So it's really the whole dynamic of the work that I did for the last 40 years has changed.
How many frames did you shoot of Tom Waits in a 10-hour day?
Well, I mean, back then that was film rather than digital. Uh-huh. Today it's even more crazy with digital. But back in those days, I probably was shooting, 50 rolls of film a day, but medium format Hasselblad. So that's 600 pictures.
Wow. And of those, how many made it through the process to be published?
Oh, I probably use maybe 5 to 10% of the images that I like that I shoot.
Wow. So these Tom Waits photos, the tattoo parlor is one I've seen. The one that we have in our gallery, I've seen another one where you've got a gun in his hand and blood in the picture.
Yeah, I'll try to make this story really quick, but it's a funny story.
Appropriate for radio. Yes.
No. For radio, it's okay. But basically, the studio said, we'd like you to shoot Tom Waits in a tuxedo. I said, not going to happen. I said, well, could you ask him? The studio's always way too afraid to ask him. So I went in the next morning and I said to Tom, they'd like to see you in a tuxedo. He said, well, the only way I'd wear a tuxedo, I'd probably get shot. And that was the basic essence of what the photograph was. The studio went on to airbrush all the blood out of the final image.
No kidding. You mentioned the studios, and you have done a fair amount of commercial work as well, and you're well known for that too. There's a particularly iconic photo of Dustin Hoffman dressed as Tootsie.
Right. Well, that's my career was basically. I mean, I basically made my living shooting motion picture campaigns. That's what I'm probably most well known for in the realm of commercial work, and that was one of my early posters. And Dustin was promised a day to become famous in the movie by Sidney Pollack. And he said, well, I want to do a shoot with Greg and shoot magazine covers now that I'm becoming a star as Dorothy Michaels. So that's kind of how that all came about. And I'm actually in the movie shooting him. That was taken during the filming of the picture.
Right. And that wasn't the original plan, right? They decided to bring you on and incorporate you into the film.
Well, I was a special photographer on the movie. I did like 5 weeks with Dustin on the movie. But that was a day added for the shooting on the film, yes.
Another photo that you're well known for is one of Marlon Brando late in his life.
Brando was great. I worked with him several times on a few different projects, and he just was a total character. I mean, one of a classic story, which I can tell gently online, is when actors are basically filming a movie, they have to be off camera for their co-star's lines. And in one of the scenes where Johnny Depp was on camera for a close-up, Marlon was off camera. Marlon was, 300 pounds, pretty big guy. And while Johnny was doing a serious one-liner, Marlon turned around at 300 pounds and dropped the drawers. So you can imagine.
Oh,
I mean, the guy was a total prankster and a lovely guy, really cool, like a kid at heart, totally.
How is it that you capture him in this photo? How does that come through here?
We spent some time on that, and it was just trying to get the lighting right, to get that face so the face didn't look so full. And it's working with heavier set people. People think you want to turn the face, for example. We were talking about getting lighting. And instead, with heavier set people, you're better off to shoot them straighter into camera and let the lighting kind of shade their face.
Yeah, it's interesting. You have about half of the whole frame in shadow, but where he's turning. And he's turning that direction.
Exactly.
And his eyes are almost completely off to the side looking out of the picture.
Right. But I think there's a feeling and essence of the old Brando in that picture. And considering that was pretty late on in his life, mm-hmm. I felt it kind of captured that very sexy Marlon Brando that you saw on the waterfront in some of the earlier movies.
So Greg Gorman, you mentioned that you're moving a little bit out of this business and you're paying some attention to making wine.
Yeah. Since the early 70s, I was always passionate about wine. In the last few years, I've dabbled a little bit, just having fun up in the Napa Valley and the Central Coast. Making a Cabernet and a Pinot Noir.
Wow! And is there any more photography work in your future? What do we have to look forward to?
Oh, absolutely! I'm finishing up a project on two projects actually. One on street photography in Southeast Asia, which is going back to my roots as a photojournalist, and also another book, which are projects I really enjoy, where a study of one individual. I've followed one individual for 25 years.
Well, that's Greg Gorman. He is going to be speaking tonight at 7 p.m. at the Nelson Atkins on his life of photography and art. He'll be talking about the work he's done and even giving maybe some help to the photographers among us. So, Greg Gorman, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having the opportunity to be on your show. I appreciate it.
You can find more information about him on our website, including a link to tonight's event where they'd love to have a reservation. So I hope you can join them for that. Coming up, we're going to work our way into St. Patrick's Day weekend with our regular visit from the Elders, the Celtic folk rock pride of Kansas City. They're live in the studio to regale us with some of their latest hits, so stick around. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.